I've been talking a little bit about God's ability to do the impossible, which is the testimony that we all have. I talked a little bit about being confronted over the last probably 5 years in a more intense way, and the Lord has been exposing just about every fear that I've ever had, and then certainly ferreted out some other ones that I didn't know I had. And I'm very thankful for the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. The longer I press towards God, the more I realize the utter futility of trying to co-labor with God without the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm so glad that through religion, how many knows God is more powerful than the spirit of religion? When there's a war in heaven, which there was, we know from the Word, it wasn't a big struggle. We struggle, but He didn't. And when He and those demonic entities that were put out of heaven, it wasn't like there was this just struggle and eventually God won. They were expelled. And so, when love came to dispel those fears, of which we talk about the love of God, when love shows up, what else would it confront in my life but the fear? We always have the opportunity in any response that we have to respond either out of love or fear. I think I had mentioned over the last 5 years or so, the Holy Spirit began to have me go through my notes. And I struggled with that a while. It's like, Lord, that's just busy work. I need to be praying in tongues. This is busy work. Well, when I did get around to being obedient about that, I saw that He had not changed His mind. He had not changed the subject. And He is the God that answers before we call. And He began to answer the questions that I had in my heart from day one. My wife and I have been here at the prayer center. We'll be going on about 16 years. And He hasn't changed His mind or His subject for me as an individual. And I had asked Him to be delivered from the opinions of men, of which He replied with a definitive no. But He said, what I am going to do is deliver you from your opinion of yourself. You know, I can't change the opinions of men, but I can change the opinion of myself. And so, not knowing the workings of the Holy Spirit and what He's actually doing, you know, the work of the Holy Spirit is so brilliant and so majestic and so beyond our souls, our carnal mind, the comprehension of what's going on. He's so working in the background. And how many times He has answered prayer, how many times He has come through for me, and I didn't pray about it because I didn't even know about it. But yet, He's working. Working all the time for us, all the time for us, all the time for us. It's just a heart that leans towards Him. He's there. He began speaking to me about this, or however you want to characterize it. I had an interest, or He was speaking, or whatever theology might fit that. Before I was even born again, I had an interest in this from a philosophical and psychological point of view of the body soul, and spirit. It's not a concept that is unique to the church. And so he began to show me the word dividing, and I'm not going to delve too deep into this, but I do want to put it in the framework of what I believe the Lord wants to say today. So it's not as complete as I could go into it, but I just, as a reference point, would like to say that Hebrews 4:12 and Hebrews 2:4 are the two times in the New Testament that the word merismos is used, and it's used in dividing body, soul, and spirit. Now, the interesting thing is that in Hebrews 2:4, the word that's commonly translated is gifts, but it's the same word merismos. And so when we see how God divides the gift, you know, the absolute futility of a human mind dividing body, soul, and spirit. I mean, let's face it, we have had, all of us at different times, the Lord has been dealing with us about the body, about the soul, about the spirit, about the carnal mind, about this whole separation. And it can only be done by the Spirit. I began working through these things and getting the notes together. And, you know, I enjoy the philosophical and the this and the that. And, but after a while, it's like, okay, what's the point? I mean, you can only enjoy that kind of thing for so long because there's not a whole lot of payoff in it. It just kind of keeps going. And so I began to ask him, and he answered. And he sort of gave me the title, if I could use that word title, to an answer. But I don't. That's just the way it came to me. And so the title is, "The Lord, by the work of His grace, by invitation of my will, becoming His, the work of the Holy Spirit." And so this is what he spoke to me. And if any of you have listened to Tim Stemple over the years, you'll realize the value of writing down and documenting what the Lord is speaking to you. The wisdom that's in that and what that's done in my life, because honestly, to me, when the Lord would speak certain things, and I can delve into this of how through this dividing things begin to happen in my life and I begin to get things in away from the Lord. And I'll just say this. He started in a very specific way of showing me the separation between the soul and the spirit. And it started by, and I'm not great with timelines, so, but this was pretty early on. I would wake up not to pray, but I would wake up or come, however you want to characterize it. You're in that place of, you're not awake, but you're not asleep. And I would hear these conversations. And it was conversations in my spirit, man. Fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit or with Christ or with the Father. And it used to irritate me when people would say, well, you know how you're talking to the Holy Spirit and then Jesus will say something and then the Father will come. I'm like, come on. Really? Don't even go there with me. That was so. But that began to happen. And here again, I don't have a model for how that happened in my life. I don't know. And it may not, everyone is an individual. And if there's one thing that the Lord has put on my heart, is that there's so much gold in here. Don't anybody forfeit one of the greatest things that the Lord has given each one of us is who we are as an individual. In our gifts, in our callings, in our life. And don't be pressured by your soul or other people or anyone else that you have to grow in Him and be transformed in a specific manner. We know that there's one path to God. It's the man Christ Jesus. But the thing I'm realizing is the path of finding the Lord and the Lord finding people is so amazing. It is so without limits. He's so capable of showing Himself to people. Without it necessarily fitting our framework. I'm not going to create a God that's made in my image. I am not going to limit God to my own understanding. And sometimes nobody is immune to the spirit of religion, and I've had a big dose of it. Okay? That is a spirit that affects everyone because at the end of the day, it's flesh. It's just the flesh that likes to serve God. The flesh doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It'll be religious all day long. All it wants is control. If it's running the show, it'll be whatever you want it to be as long as it's in control. But the point I was making about writing these things down is that these conversations that I was waking to, they so caught me off guard that there were many of them I was only getting bits and pieces and I wasn't writing it down because when it came to me in my spirit, the simplicity of what was being said was like, I'll never forget this. It's impossible. It is so simple and so elegant and so beautiful, and I have this understanding of it, and my soul's not even involved in it other than like sort of the camera's running, but it doesn't, you know, the soul, the carnal part of our mind is always confused by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't make any sense. But see, to the transformed mind, the supernatural is just the normal course of events. A couple loaves and some fishes, 5,000. No problem. That's perfect math to a transformed mind. And there'll be plenty left over. So, writing these things down is, so this is one of the things that I actually started to do after a while of not being obedient when I realized how quickly the enemy comes to take those. So, this is what the Holy Spirit shared with me about what's the point of all this. The stripping of dependency on and security in the flesh as all resources and possibility for self-preservation in the natural are being removed, the Lord has now begun to change the heart so that it desires and longs to no longer grasp for security, affirmation, and approval from the works and mind of the flesh that some parts of the soul still want to reach for, but is now losing its motivation. The dependency of the heart is being shifted to doing the will of the Father and finding its significance and identity in that place that is bathed in the love of God, a place of rest in being the beloved. Then I wrote a note, I believe my path has been greatly facilitated by the truth that the Holy Spirit has and is revealing to me regarding the marismos. That was the dividing. The revelation or unveiling of this truth, connected, supported, and confirmed and clarified by many other related portions of Scripture, is the foundation and cornerstone of my ability to co-labor not only with my transformation, but the plan, will, and purposes of God, His call for my life. Now, the point in sharing this is not like, well, this is what I've got. The point is how uniquely, as an individual, He designed this to come to me, which the desire is same for everyone. He speaks the way we can hear. He talks to us in language we understand. And that's a great father. You don't talk to all your kids the same way because they're different people. They react differently. They're just, you know, they're part of the family, but they're all very unique. There's certain things you can say to some that you wouldn't say to others. There's certain things you have to say to some that you wouldn't or can't say to others. And that's how much He loves us as individuals. And I think when we begin to get the heart that's after God, we begin to look at the part of individuals that's who they really are, the gold. Not the real surface. And so, where I left off the last time, I guess that was an introduction. I have no idea what's... Because you know what? What is really liberating is the fact that I don't have to be anybody else other than who I am. That takes a lot of pressure off right there. Because I'll tell you, man, I'd love to be and do and say the way the others move in the Spirit and all and stuff like that, you know? But man, I love Nathan's fire, man, and all that. But it's like, in my age, it's where I'm at, that's just downright exhausting to have to be that way. Whew. I love it. Believe me, I love it. Because, you know, us guys, at this, we've had that. We know what that's like. And you know what? To take that at that age and have what these guys have and use it for God and the kingdom, come on. Come on. It's awesome. You know, to come in here and get a hold of a message and have a life messed up and full of religion and have God get me on the right path. Look, I'm not saying I'll tell you what, I just feel like in a lot of ways I'm just beginning to start this walk. But you know what? Bless God. I'm going to finish walking it out. It doesn't matter. And you know what? If it's nothing but take what's on the inside of me and let it out, whatever it is for these people to carry the torch, then bring it. I love it. I love these young people in here doing this. And I know what it does to Pastor's heart, to Pastor Dave. The price these men have paid to serve God. There is a cost. It's everything. But what's our prize? What's my reward? Let me tell you, joy is a commodity that's greatly undervalued. My reward is the joy of having the master say, well done. That's it. That's fine right there. That's it. Because let me tell you, our Savior suffered and died and went through Calvary and won that battle in the garden. What had been forfeited in the garden, He reclaimed. It was for the joy that was set before Him. The joy of being obedient and serving the Father and pleasing the Father. And so, I left off without a lot of explanation, and I won't go and read the entire document, but the dream that I had about Gary and how the Holy Spirit brought a dream to correct some wrong doctrine that I had in my life that was left over from the religion. I think I mentioned the two things that I got out of a religious environment, but there were two truths that I was very, very thankful that I received in the midst of that. And it was the absolute authority of Scripture, the Word of God, and the centrality of the cross. Because forever, He's going to be the Lamb on the throne, which speaks of Calvary. But as religion does, it created in me a doctrine because of the absence of the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit in that way. They believed in the Holy Spirit, but of course not as a gift. That there was no anything that whether I got or anybody else in the terms of a revelation or a direct word from God was unscriptural. And I had the leftovers of that. When somebody would say to me that they got a word or they got a this, and that you're going to supposed to elevate that to a level of Scripture, it's like I just forget it. I locked up, and I might have not said anything verbally, but I tightened up big time. And so, in the most unexpected way, I got this dream involving Gary Carpenter, and it was this room, the classroom. I know some of you guys might remember me sharing that. And in it, Gary had some books. They were textbooks that he came and he placed on a table. And then he had to go somewhere. There was a classroom, and he had to go somewhere else. I'm summarizing. And he left the building, and I sort of walked out with him, but then he left. I knew he had to go somewhere else. I turned around. I was coming back in. And as I was coming back in, I heard Gary's voice. And of course, even in the dream, my soul is like, what is that? Well, it was the mind of Christ. It was the real Gary that was talking in the classroom. And see, what I had struggled with, this is something that over the course of these years, I've drawn a lot of life from, because these are the face-to-faces that God was speaking to me through. And I'm going to put it this way. My soul, which had been conditioned by religion to disbelieve was shutting down the word that was coming to me. Now, that is the power of a carnal mind. It will absolutely shut down the operation of God and the word in our lives. And so we have elevated the mind, we've deified it, and we've made it a villain. But we know the answer to that is the mind of Christ. When that came, because I would go through here and it was like I knew, my spirit knew, the breath of God was on some of these things. And I'd mentioned before, it's not as if the whole... but see, again, out of this, he comes as an individual. He comes to us as an individual. And it's the things that we need right now. And I've learned to yield to those things. Like I say, I'm still a novice and I feel like I'm just getting started in this. But the one thing that I know is that when God is doing something over here, I've got no business going over there. When he's lighting something up and it's on fire and your spirit knows that that is where you're supposed to be. Don't let the enemy or your flesh or anything else talk you out of it. You go where that thing is lit up. God is speaking to you. And it doesn't matter what your carnal mind says about it. And I knew in my spirit God was speaking to me, but it was hindering that from operating in my life because I was fighting it. That wrong teaching, combined with the fact of fear of man and man-pleasing, when I got this dream, I think I had mentioned before, I was more impressed that I got a dream for Gary Carpenter. I mean, I felt pretty doggone good about that. And you know, when you're looking for affirmation like that, whatever you might get back, trust me, it's never enough. We could have been a little more excited about it. Well, yeah, that's nice, whatever. It's like, come on. I thought, oh, good. You know, here's in my mind. This was the thought I have, and I'm just putting it out there. Well, you know, he's going to know what those books are. He's going to be waiting for this, you know, he's going to know those three books. And one textbook's this, and one's a paperback. And he's going to know what every one of those things is. It's going to be the key that unlocks the door, and he's going to take off because of a dream I got. Those were things that absolutely shut down what God was saying to me. This isn't about Gary. This was about the wrong doctrine that I had in my life. This is about the Holy Ghost. Got to do it in a dream because when he's awake, he's so shut down. When else are you going to get his attention? So when I realized what this was about, and this stronghold really came down, I'll tell you, I didn't have a slot for that. I had a coin I had no slot for. I don't know what to do with this because it doesn't fit my theology. You know, I could call it doctrine, I could call it whatever. Really, in fact, all it was a precept of man which shuts down the operation of the word. And as I was going back over this, the thing that really came to me was those textbooks that Gary had in the dream, of course, in my current mindset, I thought Gary was going to hand those to me. You think Pastor Dave is going to hand it to you? Uh-uh. He's going to set it down. He's going to set it down. And I like the way Gary said, you, and you are going to pick it up. If it's going to be picked up. That's just the way the Lord works. It's up to you. I mean, the Lord's whole model of ministry and recruiting, there again, the carnal mind, what was his big recruiting plan? Follow me. Where are we going? I don't know. Father will tell us. What are we going to do? I don't know. Whatever I hear. So that doesn't fit the carnal mind's mold. I remember after I realized what was going on and after I repented. And, you know, repentance is not just being sorry. You know, it's about the way we think. It's a turning in the way we think, and it's a turning towards God instead of ourselves, and it's taking a step in that direction, and it's about a change of mind, changing the way we think, which comes back to the body, soul, and spirit, and the renewed mind, and all of how all that fits. And only the Holy Spirit can sort all that out. But I remember after that, this made a trip to Florida with us one time, and Brenda will remember this. We had gone to Florida to visit our family, and we're out under the umbrella, and I had this out with me out on the beach one day. Brenda will remember the day because there was a huge group of young people out there congregating at the water's edge. And we're like, what's going on out here? Well, it was a youth group from several churches that had gotten together. And they'd had a meeting the night before. They were staying at the same hotel we were staying at. And they were baptizing all of the young people that had gotten born again the night before. And I can remember that. What that did on the inside of us. And at the same time, I was going through these face-to-faces in a way that I'd never done before because of freeing up my mind. That moment, that day, when these began to... You know, and look, I'm not trying to puff up Gary Carpenter. I'm not trying to do any of the, you know, it isn't about all that. It's about the working of God, the work of the Holy Spirit, and what he's getting over to us and how he comes as individuals. You know, I could get off on a whole big thing of honor and what real honor is. At least to me, he's been talking about that. You know, there's a difference between honor and flattery. I can get up here and flatter everybody, but that's, you know, Dave and Tim and Gary and the whole Alan, Nathan, the whole thing. I can get up here and flatter everybody, but you know what? That's not about them. That's about me. That's not honor. I mean, I could start talking about what these guys have meant to me in my life and how they've loved me through all of my stuff, and I could just break down and I'd be done right now. You know? Done. But that's not me glorifying them. And the thing I respect about them is I respect in so many people that I've had the privilege of knowing in here is they got a heart for God. And they're not stopping. They're not backing down. They're not moving away from it. And you know what? I respect that. Because we've all had a little bit of that stuff in our life and things, you know. And it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. I don't want this to sound hard. I really don't. But when we talk about honor, I can remember many times when Pastor David come in off the road and he was tired. He'd been traveling. He'd been preaching, giving it all. Come back and tired, and you know, everybody wants a line. Everybody wants to get prayed for. And he, in the nicest possible way, would say, okay, then, you know, I'm going to go to a restaurant, or I've got to go home, or I've got to whatever. He had a commitment that he needed to be at. And so that's it right there. Okay? And then it grew and grew and grew and grew. And please, I'm not trying to be harsh with anybody. I'm trying to make a point, okay? Of something that if you want to honor Pastor Dave, then that was a good opportunity to do it. Let me say this. Because people think, and I'm not associating it with the leadership, I'm associating it with people in general, that we need to have honor for everyone. And if I honor somebody, it doesn't mean I'm agreeing. I can still honor someone and not agree with everything that they say or do. It's just like loving somebody. You see, I can love somebody without condoning their behavior. But if we put agreement above relationship, I think that's a little out of order. Because, quite frankly, I don't know about you guys, but my wife and I don't agree on everything. I don't know if that's a staggering thing. I'm not going to leave my wife because we have a disagreement. Brenda came from a Pentecostal charismatic background. I didn't. Mine was on the other side. I won't go there. I think we've said enough without saying it, but yes. And so that brought some tension, if you want to put it that way. But honestly, it proved to be of value to both of us, because there are parts that each one benefited from. So in going back to identity, being delivered from my opinion of myself, I think now I'm just beginning to operate from a place of identity and not for a place of identity. Because we have an identity in Christ. And it's what the Word says. It's not what my opinion coming out of my carnal mind says. So I would like us to turn to Colossians chapter 1. And it almost seems just wrong to not read the whole chapter. I mean, so forgive me for just taking a piece out of this. But I'd like to start reading in verse 12. And maybe before we start going through these passages, we'll get clear on some Greek words. Me being the Greek scholar that I am. No, not really. I can Google. I can look up, you know, Strong's and all that. But let's just think about a few words here. And I've got King James, half, H-A-T-H. Do we need to Greek that one? Half. H-A-T-H. That's past, right? Are we all in agreement about the half part? Okay. Have. H-A-V-E. We probably don't need to break that one down too much either. If you have something, you possess it. Correct? Okay. You guys are tightening up a little bit. This isn't a trick deal. I'm not that smart. Yeah. Is. There's another biggie. Is. And were. Are these linking verbs? So I was thinking about the am, is, are, was, were. Are those linking verbs? Is that what I... Where'd that come from? Mrs. Bradshaw would be thrilled, my English teacher. So let's start in verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath. Okay, that's in the past, right? Okay. Made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We're partakers. I mean, we're making the assumption here that you're born again, you're a partaker of that. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Past, present, or future? Okay. And half translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Now, whether they be, and I want, this is what I'm wanting to capture. Whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. All of these things were created by the Lord Jesus. That's pretty clear. And for a moment, let's look at the architecture, if you will, of this. Because how many knows it was the goal of the enemy to be like God? That was his will, to be like God. So he counterfeits what God does, what God has done, what God has created. You don't counterfeit something that isn't of value. You don't see a bunch of counterfeit pennies, for example. You'd be foolish to do that because there's no value. But everything in the kingdom of God is valuable. We're not going to turn there, but a very familiar passage of Scripture is Ephesians chapter 6. When we talk about wrestling, not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, powers, world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Where'd that idea come from? The architecture of the enemy came from what God had modeled in his kingdoms. Because there is a structure there. Notice this particular class of the demonic, if you will, is in the heavens. Now, these are spirits that are disembodied, if you will, not in a body. But they are in governmental areas, in spheres of influence. Okay? If you look at the word principality and break that down, it's chief, it's regions, it's government. Of governmental authority. It's an area over regions. The powers are ones that are subject to these principalities that will blanket particular areas versus regions. And the world rulers are a certain class of demonic of the principalities that regulate other principalities. When we talk about the spirit of the world and the world control and the way the world thinks, these are all demonic influences. The demons, well, that's the ground troops. We don't know anything about those, do we? Here again, I go back in my mind when the Lord began showing me some of this, of like, okay, what's the point of this? What's the big deal about this? Well, I've been, as part of my confession, and it's something that it's, do I have it on a list? Do I say it every day? Do I know? But some days more than others, it comes up over and over and over again. I started on a list, and then it just got in me to where it just, he teaches my hands to war. He teaches me to bend the bow of bronze. And Paul said, talked about beating the air and fighting things in the air. I believe, again, through all of the framework that I'm trying to explain, is that he was using this, again, for me to co-labor in the Spirit against these forces in my life. I guess the point is of, you know, God is going to work the impossible in your life when you're pressing towards Him. Not that you're living a perfect life. Not that you're doing everything. I mean, the enemy is like, look, I don't care how much you pray. The enemy is going to come and tell you it's not enough. And one day it occurred to me, since when is he so concerned about how long I'm praying and wanting me to pray another? I mean, what? Come on. You know, I snapped out of it long enough to, what's going on here? Well, he's not interested in me praying. He's interested in me feeling condemned that I've never done enough. Even a person who thinks they're failing miserably here, how much they fast, how much they pray, how much they're into the Word, all of these things, where their heart is towards God. I mean, not that we compare, but I mean, it's funny. You know, when you talk about people that are stranded somewhere, they went 4 days without food. It's like, okay, they barely made it. They're coming back in. We're going to take them to the hospital with IVs and all this. And it's like, that's kind of funny, really, when you think about it. The point is, and again, I have to say, I'm not that, wrap it all up, put it in a bow or whatever, but there is an image that develops. And again, it's my carnal mind is clueless as to how this came about or what's going on. But all of a sudden, we just know things. And, you know, I know it's God. How do I know? I don't know how I know, but I know that he does it. It's like losing weight. Where does it go? I don't know. I mean, I've always wondered that. Where does it go? But I know one thing, regardless of where we are or where we're walking, we just keep lifting Him up. And we position ourselves in a place where we are like all this were and did and it's already happened and where we really are. Okay? If we position our mind, this is what he's been very patiently over the years getting me to try to see is these things are already done. I don't have to pray to get these things. I've already got them. And the effort that it just, you know, how do you get an answer to prayer when you've already received the answer? How do you ever know when it shows up if I've already got it? So the positioning and the mindset for me, and again, look, I'm not going to get up here ever and, you know, everybody telling you should do this and you should do that. It's like, I'm not going to be that. That's not in me. That, to me, is presumptuous. To get up here and should all over everybody, okay? But for me, the mindset changing is to position myself. I'm not fighting for victory anymore. I'm fighting from a place of victory. I'm fighting from this place. All of these things that are already done, that's the place I'm fighting from. If we could just take 5 minutes, there's a song that's just been, I heard this song a few weeks ago, and it's one of those that just, it gets in you. It got in me. And it's talking about lifting up Christ. If he's going to be lifted up. is talking about he's the hope that's inside of us. It's all in him. It's all about him. It's, you know, we're just so blessed and privileged to be along for the ride, and he has secured everything for us. And so he's the one that's worthy of it all. And so let's just take 5 minutes or so and let the Lord do what he wants to do with each one of us as an individual.
Amen.
Bless you.
lifted higher. I sing praises to your name, praises to your name, the name that's so much higher than all.